and I could hardly miss Cain's pointed implication that I should, in the fullness of time, do the same. Let me begin with some second thoughts about the title. In 1975, through the mediation of my friend Desmond Morris, I showed the partially completed book to Tom Mashler, Doyen of London Publishers, and we discussed it in his room at Jonathan Cape. He liked the book, but not the title. Selfish, he said, was a down word. Why not call it the immortal gene? Immortal was an up word. The immortality of genetic information was a central theme of the book, and immortal gene had almost the same intriguing ring as selfish gene. Neither of us, I think, noticed the resonance with Oscar Wilde's The Selfish Giant. I now think Mashler may have been right. Many critics, especially vociferous ones learned in philosophy, as I've discovered, prefer to read a book by title only. No doubt this works well enough for The Tale of Benjamin Bunny or The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, but I can readily see that The Selfish Gene, on its own, without the large footnote of the book itself, might give an inadequate impression of its contents. Nowadays, an American publisher would, in any case, have insisted on a subtitle. The best way to explain the title is by locating the emphasis. Emphasize selfish, and you will think the book is about selfishness, whereas, if anything, it devotes more attention to altruism. The correct word of the title to stress is gene, and let me explain why. A central debate within Darwinism concerns the unit that is actually selected. What kind of entity is it that survives, or does not survive, as a consequence of natural selection? That unit will become, more or less by definition, selfish. Altruism might well be favoured at other levels. Does natural selection choose between species? If so, we might expect individual organisms to behave altruistically for the good of the species. They might limit their birth rates to avoid overpopulation, or restrain their hunting behaviour to conserve the species' future stocks of prey. It was such widely disseminated misunderstandings of Darwinism that originally provoked me to write the book. Or does natural selection, as I urge instead here, choose between genes? In this case, we should not be surprised to find individual organisms behaving altruistically for the good of the genes, for example, by feeding and protecting kin, who are likely to share copies of the same genes. Such kin altruism is only one way in which gene selfishness can translate itself into individual altruism. This book explains how it works, together with reciprocation, Darwinian theory's other main generator of altruism. If I were ever to rewrite the book, as a late convert to the Zahavi-Graffon handicap principle, I should also give some space to Amat Zahavi's idea that altruistic donation might be a potlatch style of dominance signal. See how superior to you I am. I can afford to make a donation to you. Let me repeat and expand the rationale for the word selfish in the title. The critical question is which level in the hierarchy of life will turn out to be the inevitably selfish level at which natural selection acts. The selfish species, the selfish group, the selfish organism, the selfish ecosystem. Most of these could be argued, and most of them have been uncritically assumed by one or another author, but all of them are wrong. Given that the Darwinian message is going to be pithily encapsulated as the selfish something, that something turns out to be the gene, for cogent reasons which this book argues. Whether or not you end up buying the argument itself, that is the explanation for the title. I hope that takes care of the more serious misunderstandings. Nevertheless, I do, with hindsight, notice lapses of my own on the very same subject. These are to be found especially in Chapter 1 of the original edition, epitomized by the sentence, "Let us try to teach generosity and altruism, because we are born selfish." There is nothing wrong with teaching generosity and altruism, but born selfish is misleading. In partial explanation, it was not until 1978 that I began to think clearly about the distinction between vehicles, usually organisms, and the replicators that ride inside them. In practice, genes. The whole matter is explained in Chapter 13, which was